Well, in rural Wisconsin, there's an animal behaviorist who raises sheep and enters her border collie in sheepdog competition. And that pretty much, I think it describes Patricia McConnell a bit, but also describes the main character in her first novel, a murder mystery. It's titled Away to Me. And I really enjoyed reading it. Away to Me is the title. Patricia McConnell, the author, a certified applied animal behaviorist, international speaker, author of several books on dog training and behavior issues with dogs. It's great to have her here to talk about her first novel, Away to Me. And if you have questions or comments as we move along, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email to talk at WPR.org. Patricia, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Larry.
Under different circumstances.
Yes, no kidding.
A novel. You've written so many, best-selling books about dog behavior. Here you've got a novel. Was it harder, easier? What was it like writing a novel?
It was wonderful and horrible. but overall, I loved it. I started it literally just for fun. It was like I was over 70. I was retiring from all these different things that I've been doing. But I love to read, and I love beautiful writing, and I aspire to be a really good writer. So I just started playing at it. I had the scene in my head. It's the first chapter. Somebody's killed at a sheepdog trial.
4.5 pages in.
Yeah. I don't waste any time. And I just sort of started, like I said, it was doing it for fun. And then I got absolutely obsessed with learning the craft of writing fiction. It is... Well, here's what I've learned to say. Writing bad fiction. I used to say writing bad fiction is easy and writing good fiction is hard. Now I say writing bad fiction is hard, but writing good fiction is even harder. I love learning how to write better. And I have a long way to go, first thing I will say, but I love doing it.
Well, I certainly really enjoyed your book, Away to Me. And Away to Me, by the way, would you explain the title there?
Yeah, the title has two meanings, which is part of the fun of writing. So Away to Me is a cue given to a sheepdog to go counterclockwise around the sheep. But it's also a metaphor for Maddie. Maddie McGowan is the protagonist. Basically, this is a story about a woman who risks her life to save a dog. I mean, really, that's the elevator sentence, right? So Maddie McGowan, where start well, over? What was your question again?
Well, no, I'm really you're right on the right track, because I was going to ask you to kind of give us an outline for those. Obviously, the book is just coming out, so people haven't had a chance to read it.
Yeah, it comes out next week on the 24th. I'll be speaking at Arcadia Bookstore or across the street. On the 24th, and Mystery to Me in Madison on March 5th. Please come. It's so fun to see people. So, so Maddie McGowan, Write What You Know, right? I did consciously do that because I thought, I don't know how to write fiction. I'm happy to say I know nothing about murder and law enforcement related to murder. So Maddie McGowan is living sort of her best life after, quote, what happened in New Mexico that she doesn't like to talk about. She has sheep. She competes in sheepdog trials. She's a behaviorist. She really stays to herself. So the other metaphor for Away to Me is that Maddie sort of pushes people away. She has two good friends, but otherwise she pushes people away. But she really does want another kind of relationship that she doesn't admit to herself. And that becomes clear as the novel moves on.
It does indeed. And one of her best friends is the one who gets George.
Yeah, George is her mentor, her friend, her sheepdog training mentor. She becomes friends when she buys this little puppy named Jack from him. He is inexplicably shot at a sheepdog trial. And she's recovering from trying, right? Recovering from the shock of losing this dear friend of hers. And she ends up fostering a dog from a shelter. By the way, call out to animal shelters and rescue groups everywhere. And the dog is doing better. She's doing better. Things are starting to really sort of heal up, getting back to her regular life. And one day she goes home and she finds that one of her dogs is gone. Just gone. And by the way, parenthetically, I should say here, Larry, no dog dies in the making of this novel, because otherwise no dog lover would read it. My editor was like, Tricia, you're ruining the plot. I was like, no, I'm keeping the dog lovers from not reading it.
Well, and that dog, Cisco, if I'm remembering right, is a pretty cool dog.
Cisco is a very cool dog. He's a foster. Jack is a very cool dog. Jack is her border collie, who manages her sheep and competes with sheepdog trials. Bo Peep is her sheep guarding dog, a Great Pyrenees. And Clementine is the old terrier who is mistaken for a pillow often because she's a real old girl and she sleeps a lot.
Well, the number of dogs, I mean, you've got a couple of best friends in there, but really your dogs are your best friends.
Yeah, they are definitely Maddie's best friends. But I have to admit that I have a lot of great human friends, and I have a wonderful husband. And without question, they are my best friends. But dogs are part of my family, and I describe myself as an author, an animal behaviorist, and someone who is stupid in love with dogs. And I adore them. Dogs and people are my favorite species, although people sometimes make it a little more challenging.
Well, you know, one of the things I kind of enjoyed about the book, is there are reflections that Maddie goes through on her experiences in her work as somebody who works with dogs and always troubled. You know, I mean, you're there, Maddie's there working with those dogs because there are real problems associated with the dogs, and maybe they're going to have to get put down or something like that. And Maddie takes that really personally.
Yeah, you know, I love that you brought that up, Larry. I've done, I think, 18 podcasts so far to promo the book, and most of the people who listen are dog lovers or a lot of dog professionals. And one of the things I've heard over and over again in the last month has how gratified people who are trainers and behaviorists and vet behaviorists are about reading what their life is really like, because many of us feel that people seem to think, based on what they say, that we spend our days sort of running through fields of daisies with golden retriever puppies. Yeah. And it's actually a really hard, hard job. And they have been so happy to see, like, this is, somebody can read what my life is like. You know, they feel seen, right? And so one of the things I learned about fiction when I was learning about writing it was that a lot of people, part of what they like about fiction is that it opens it up to a world that they don't know. And I never thought about that, but it's, you know, it's true with me. And so one of the fun things, and it was never my intent, but one of the fun things to me about this novel is that people will get to see what it's like to be at a sheepdog trial. People will get to see what it's like to be an animal behaviorist, you know. All of the cases that Maddie saw are some kind of variation on cases I've seen, without question.
And actually, you know, thinking about all the years we worked together, you were imparting not only those feelings, but also a pretty good information to people who might say, that's what my dog.
Yeah. And I didn't, again, you know, it wasn't my intent. My intent was to write a good story. You know, to write a hero's journey story about sort of every person who gets faced with this huge challenge and has to deal with it. But But, you know, the fact of the matter is that Maddie is dealing with just the same kind of things that every animal behaviorist and top trainer actually deals with. And so it wasn't hard for me to write about those cases. That was sort of the easy part. The hard part for me, Larry, was plotting. A plot, you know,
yeah.
That's, I mean, all the books I've written, I often start with a short story, like a page and a half of a scene.
Yeah.
But then putting that all together in a narrative that is a page turner, you know, that was really challenging for me and really fun to learn how to do it.
Patricia McConnell, our guest today, she is the author, this is her first novel, maybe not her last. She's probably... I'll get into that with her in a bit. The current novel is titled Away to Me. Questions for Patricia? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email the email address talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you with us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We are talking with Patricia McConnell about her novel, Away to Me. And again, questions for her. Give a call the number, 800-642-1234. You could email to talk@WPR.org. I was doing a kind of a count in my head of the number of dogs. There are a half a dozen dogs that play a role in this. One, two, three, four, five. Wrote them down. Six of them.
They're dogs. One of my hopes is that people who are not necessarily dog crazy will still love reading this book because it's hopefully because I wanted to write a really good page turning, keep you up at night mystery novel. And I've talked to a couple of people who are not, who, you know, they might like dogs, right? But they're not crazy like I am. And they said, it was really good. So my hope is it expands outside the dog world. But the fact of the matter is, it's really, there's a lot of dogs in this book.
Lots of dogs. And a couple of them relate. I know there's a ranger that you're, a dog that you're working with, a six-year-old Milwaukee canine, afraid, who happens to be afraid of thunder, which would be awful for a dog in that situation.
That's right, and that is such a common problem here in the Midwest. I mean, we do live in Thunder Alley, and it is so hard on dogs. They basically think God is growling at them. I had so many clients. I had, I think, three clients at least in the 25 or so years whose dogs went through upper story windows, right? Landed on the pavement. So, so it's not an uncommon, I mean, that's uncommon, but fear of thunder is a real serious problem. I've had two dogs I had to work it through with them.
And there are dogs in there that the whole business about police dog training, I thought was interesting too, for drugs and that sort of thing.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up. Because you said something about my first book. So here's the fantasy, Larry. The fantasy, the hope, the dream is that this is a trilogy.
Ah.
And the first one is Away to Me. Again, go counterclockwise around the sheep. The second one is Come By, which means go clockwise around the sheep. It is also, by the way, another metaphor for Maddie, who is come by, come by in relation to the men in her life.
Yeah.
And then the third one is That'll Do, which in sheepdog parlance means come back to me now, dog. Your work here is done.
Oh, my goodness. And so those are already rolling around in your head?
I've started the second one. I don't have time to work on it very much right now because of, this book coming out. But I'm hungry to keep writing on it. I take notes almost every single day about, this could happen and, that could happen.
Well, that last chapter, I thought, I can see where this is there.
Yeah.
Definitely some more coming down the road. And we should, before I even forget about it, let's go through. I know you're going to be speaking around Wisconsin pretty darn quickly. You sort of mentioned in passing at the beginning, but, people everywhere here are going to want to know where you are.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Larry. Yeah, I am speaking first. Well, first of all, the quick version is you can just go to my website, patriciamcconnell.com, go to events, and you get the whole speaking speaking schedule. But I'm speaking next week, Tuesday the 24th, through Arcadia Bookstore. You can just go to their website and get yourself on there. March 5th, I'm speaking in Madison at Mystery to Me. And in between those times, I'm speaking in Milwaukee, Lake Geneva, Stevens Point, and Green Bay. And then, in a week later, I'm going to Texas. So all of your Texas listeners, I'll be in San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas.
Oh my goodness. Is it, based on your successes with your first books, which were not novels, I mean, did that help in terms of getting people to...
Getting published, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes and no. One of the things I've learned about fiction is that it is so hard to get published. My agent said, it's a triumph to get published by anybody. And there's just a fire hose of books coming out every hour, not every day, but every hour of fiction. Everybody wants to write fiction. So it helped. It definitely helped that I have a following, Facebook and Instagram. It definitely helped that I've had, other End of the Leash, which was in, I think, I always forget, 12 or 13 languages. It's just going to be published in Ukraine, which just makes me so happy.
Oh, my goodness.
Can just add a little bit of light to that country, going through so much. But yeah, it was... It's not easy to get published. And so Kensington took a chance on me, and I'm very grateful to them. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I think the plot really turns on how many police dogs are trained to sniff out drugs.
There is certainly a component, and the reason I mentioned the trilogy is that in the next book that I mentioned, the dog that Maddie brings home to help her, to help the dog, is either going to be a wildlife detection dog or a search and rescue human remains detection dog. So one of the fun things for me is that I'm learning a lot. That's the one aspect of canine behavior I've known the least about. So I went to a seminar in Virginia. I spent the weekend with people who were training search and rescue dogs, for example. So I'm just learning a ton about dogs using their noses. And it's really fun. It's just really fun for me. And I think really interesting to the general public. It's like, how does this work?
Michael sent an email to ask, are wolves afraid of thunder? If not, how did dogs become fearful of thunder?
That is a great question. And I don't know. We need to get some of the experts. We need to get Adrian out there on the radio and ask him. It might be that they are, but I would guess less commonly. We have dogs are so much like wolves, but they're so different than wolves in so many ways. And I think part of the fact, maybe just speculating, that dogs are so often afraid of thunder when God is growling, but also they don't have the agency that wolves have. Village dogs, they want to run away, they can run away, right? And our dogs can't. I mean, they're trapped in a house or they're trapped in a car. They can't act on their fears very well, so they'll come to us and whine and cry and scratch at the door. So I think that that makes things scarier when you don't have more control. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if far fewer wolves are afraid of thunder. But that is a great question.
Seems to me, just as an aside, I mean, when you're growing up as a wolf, you're around mom and dad and everybody else, and if they're not scared.
Yeah, yeah. And dogs don't have that. So many dogs live with humans, right? like, as you say, Larry, they live with a different species. So that's a really good point. That might be part of it.
Liz emailed to say she has all of your training books. Ages ago, Liz went to one of your seminars and took a dog in for a behavior assessment. She teaches entry-level agility, and your techniques have helped her to train the people and their dogs.
Well, that is what it is. You know, ask every trainer and behaviorist. I will tell you, the most common thing that we say is that it is so much easier to train the dog than the people. I actually learned when I was doing one-on-one consults, if I started just training the dog, that was like, oh, whoops, Trisha's really tired. You need to get your act together, right? Take some deep breaths, because you're supposed to be training the people, not the dog.
And I want to go back to that whole part that you were so eloquently talking about, which was the burden of the person who's doing the training, like Maddie here. I thought that was so well written.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it's true. I mean, I think most people in helping professions take on a certain amount of burdens. And you know, we have to be really careful. All of us have to be really careful to not take on too much, because then you get burnt out. You know, nobody knows this better than a nurse, for example, you know, is to be compassionate, to be sympathetic, but to take on the burden. Maddie hasn't quite learned that yet. Maddie is obsessed with solving the mystery. She's absolutely obsessed with finding this dog. And she can't give it up. She absolutely can't give it up. She has issues, as many of us do, right? Yeah. She has a past. And one of the things that happened to her is that she couldn't save George, you know, her mentor who was killed in the first chapter. She couldn't save him, and she feels horrible about that. And here she's trying to, you know, trying to always sort of save dogs, and she definitely compromises her lifestyle in order to try and help dogs.
So, and we kind of have two things here, and the two stories going on, or maybe three, but we've got George's murder. Mm-hmm. So that we need to, she's worried about that and who did it and solving it. And by the way, there are several possibilities.
Yes, of course. Of course.
In the book. But then the other side story, but they come together, is the dog that gets taken.
The missing dog, right? Finding the missing dog. And then there's a little romance scattered in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a little bit of that.
And I was trying to think of, is it Chris?
Chris.
The Humane Society volunteer. So the Humane Society gets some words in there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that happened, and I've read about this with other authors, but it's different to experience it than it is to read about it. You get so fond of your characters.
Yeah.
You know, at first Maddie was like, I knew her demographic. She was, you know, mid-40s, and she left New Mexico with a bad, you know, blah, blah. But as I was writing, they're like a photograph in a dark room, and they just start getting clearer and stronger. And that I could, Maddie is sitting right beside me. I can picture her. I can feel her. I understand her. So, you know, I'm fond of her. I don't know. And Chris and Maddie's best friend, Dorothy, who is this, as I say in the book, who face of an actress and mouth of a sailor.
Yep.
Based on two of my friends, by the way. I combined two of them together.
Have you told your friends that?
Yes. Actually, I have.
Well, the one said, well, I'm the mouth of a sailor, but
and
not
she
the
knows.
Pretty one.
Oh, I haven't put it that way. I have to be careful. Uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. She's actually gorgeous. They're both gorgeous.
Oh, man. So it's a lot of fun. The book is fun. And, you know, it's tough. And things about Maddie's, they sort of appear slowly over the course of the book, and it's in the end, near the end, we find out the worst.
What happened in New Mexico, and that's, you know, so many books are like that, is like you just, you know, build up to some big part of what is motivating Maddie to behave the way she behaves.
And then the surprise of who really did the murder comes out at the end.
So did you know? Did you?
I didn't, really.
Good. That's music to my ears, your producer, Joel. He just said, I didn't know who it was going to be either. It's like, yes, good.
I
did my job.
I was surprised. and you've written a fun, interesting and novel here, and I hope it sells a million copies.
Oh, thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Patricia. Patricia McConnell's book, A Way to Me, and go to her website and find out more about each of the appearances she's going to be making here in Wisconsin. She's got a bunch coming up in the next month. And one even next week. So do that. And thank you very much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News. I'm Larry Mueller.